Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
This is good. For those of you that are tired of seeing me this morning, you may leave. No. First guy up was Kevin. Like, I'm out of here. I've seen you enough. So, well, thanks for being here this morning. Everybody knows how dry it is out and how my hands are all cracked. And so I can't, it's hard to even turn a page. But my wife has been really sick this week. And being the good husband that I am, I was out playing golf and riding the motorcycle, anything to get out of the house so that I could do this today with you. So I'm just glad to be here, somewhat good voice. So if I have to take a sip of water in the middle of this, please forgive me. We're going to, like I always do when I teach, I like to use slideware. So I've traveled the world doing presentations and teaching and training, and I always had slides. I always have a nice reference so that you all can see what it is that we're talking about. So what you'll see while I'm teaching is the actual verses that I'm referencing. So you don't have to turn in your Bible to those verses. We're going to be in Colossians 3, so you can just stay there, and then I'll show the verses up on the screen as we go. That's it. We're gonna jump right in. There is no also. I had this Christmas project, so I bought a Christmas tree from IKEA. If any of you would like to share in that experience, enjoy. I'll probably be doing that for the next 100 years, but it's fun. And it's hard to see, but it's just a box full of foreign things. What are those things called? Needles off of a tree. Holy moly. Anyways, so if I have to, bear with me this morning. IKEA Christmas tree, always fun. So we're going to do a missions update right now. We do these mission moments every once in a while, and I wanted to take a few minutes this morning to talk to you about missions and the things that we do with our missionary organizations that we support. And I know I'm going to forget something. I don't have a limited amount of time, so for the missions folks out there that are supporting the particular ministries, just forgive me. We'll be okay. So what we do is 20% of our monthly giving goes to missions. So 15% is split across 5 organizations that we support every month, and then 5% goes into a slush fund, but into a missions fund that we can help with special projects and things like we've just helped Randy and his ministry, and we'll talk about that in a little bit with some money for a new roof. We also have sponsors for each of those 5 organizations, and their role is to maintain communication with those folks, talk to them, pray for them, find out what additional work they might need to have done or projects they might have going on and ways that we can help them. So we try not to sit on our mission money and our mission fund. We try to give it away and get it out there so that the people that are doing the work of the gospel, taking Jesus to the world, are able to be supported. And there's always, it's like anything else, like you got to make your house payment. They have bills and they have things that they have to do as well. So we try to support them to the best of our abilities. And then earlier this spring, we did a special gift of $3,000 to each of those 5 organizations because we had a little extra money left over. And you cannot believe the amount of thanks and praise we got from those organizations for just helping them when they didn't even know they needed it, and they were able to put that money to good use. So we are a missional church. We like to, it's probably the wrong name to use, but we like to support our missions outside the church, which is an extension of us. It's an extension of what we do here at Westside. So, all right, where is that? So for the first one, Yavapai Territorial Gospel Rescue Mission is right here in Prescott. And Karen Brown, she'll be here in the second service. She supports this ministry. And she does a great job. And really what they are about is providing transitional housing to women and children in need and helping them regain balance and move forward in their life. So it's a temporary stop on their way, but it's all about the Lord when they get into that home. And what happens there at the rescue mission is they stay, but they don't have a kitchen. So we help supply food. So some of you, hopefully, any of you, helping them with meals? My wife is, Karen is, I think Renee is. There are some people that are providing meals because they don't have a kitchen. So there's a need there that you can actually help support a local missionary organization, a local ministry, not Westside. So if you think about that, and it's something you'd like to get involved in, please talk to Karen. We would love to see you supporting something outside of this church. The International Bible Training Organization, Pastor Dennis is our sponsor for that, and his friends, Tom and Deborah Knight, they serve and they teach Bible internationally, so they're kind of all over the place, and We just recently sent them a check to help them build a well in some part of the world. I don't know what it is. I didn't check the notes, but you know they had a request, and we responded to that request financially. But again, we're about prayer. We're about staying in touch with those organizations and helping them the best that we can. The American Indian Christian Mission up in Sholo, Janie Curtis is our sponsor there. So if you have any questions about that, see Janie. But they serve the Navajo, Hopi, and White Mountain Indian tribes. And really what they have is they have a boarding school, and they try to keep the kids that are struggling, you know, at home with family issues on the reservation in that boarding school. So it gives them a place to go. They're trying to go from a 5-day boarding school to a 7-day boarding school. We just recently helped them with money for a new well that they need because they're building additional buildings, and we're also helping them kind of rebuild their current facility so that they have more room for on-site staff. So that's what we're doing there. The American Reservation Ministries, Brenda Chase has been doing that one, and it's all about exists to make Arizona Reservation Ministries disciples, empowering our Native brothers and sisters to meet the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of their community, and motivating them to become active members of local Bible-based churches. Now, we do a yearly blanket project there. Some of you ladies are involved in that. And there's also a backpack school project that we help provide backpacks, and there's some other things that we do there as well. And then the Bible Translators, Pioneer Bible Translators, Josie Ingram is our sponsor. She used to be part of that organization. You may remember Mark and Tina Geppert. They were here in the spring, and Mark talked for a while, and Tina talked for a while about what they're doing. They are back in West Africa with the Lele people, and it's all about translating the Bible into the Lele language. And we've been able to help them as they transition back, and also there were a couple of churches that they were building, and we helped them get some roofing material and put roofs on before the rainy season. So again, we're just trying to help these organizations that are out spreading the gospel in various parts of the world. And then last but not least, I want to talk to you about this. This is new to us, not part of our top five yet, maybe someday, but we're working on it. Yeah, Randy and Moby back there, and Dave Voorhees, where's David? He's around. Oh, there he is, over there, helping out with Randy and Moby at New Song Recovery Home. It's right here in Prescott. So men, you can get involved in a missionary organization. David spent some time there. I've spent some time there. Fabulous stuff what Randy and Moby are doing with people that have come out of drug addiction or have some sort of parole thing that they have to do, and they have to go through some sort of training to mitigate their sentencing and things like that. I think I explained that pretty close to being right, yeah. So great Bible study, 7 o'clock in the morning. If you guys would like to go over and check it out, and I know David is volunteering to help mentor one of the young men there. So it's a great opportunity, again, to support local ministries, and that's what we're looking for more. The international missionaries are great. We send money to them. We really don't know a lot. But we have two organizations right here in Prescott that you can help with. And so I would strongly suggest that you do. So just a couple other things. What's my next slide? I don't want to do that. I forgot to put the blank slide in. So we've also helped out Black Sheep, our organization, mine, Jim Birmingham, John Strickland. We helped them out this spring with a large event that they were putting on. Those are kind of one-offs that we do on special occasions. And then we also help Solid Rock with their Thanksgiving food drive. That's the point of the basket out there. And then some of you have given money to that. We really appreciate that. The church has actually helped them financially this year as well because they spend a lot of money to feed about 300 families. So those are the types of the things that are happening. So if you've got something that's happening, let me know. Let's kind of continue to build this outreach. Not now. Okay, so I will put that into my notes for next Thanksgiving. I'm kidding. So anyways, thanks, Nancy. But the point is there's always opportunity. So we want to know about opportunity. It's not that we're going to support everything that happens, but what I strongly suggest is that you all find your people, find your third place, find your missionary organizations that you want to personally support. We support about 10 personally, you know, Patty and I. We don't expect the church to do that. We do it. You know, so I'm hoping that all of you have some place that you can go or some organization that you are supporting that is helping to spread the gospel and care for people locally, nationally, internationally, around the world, whatever it is. But if you don't, please look into that. Find something that fits your kind of deal. Like we do Teen Challenge, we do Hope, what is it? Hope Rescue Mission. We do Ryan House because it's for handicapped kids and a respite thing because we have a respite kid in our family. So we find those things and we help them and we support them. And a lot of times that financial support is the biggest thing because, it, like I said, it takes money. You got to pay bills. You got to pay your house payment, your car payment, so you know what it takes. So anything that you can give, anything that any organization that says, yeah, that strikes a chord with you, please go out and do that. All right. Telling you how to spend your money on a Sunday morning. It's all for a good cause, though. So let me pause for just a second. Anybody been kind of sick this week? Yeah. That's what I said. Patty's at home, and I tried to stay away from her as much as possible. She usually tries to stay away from me as much as possible on a regular basis. So I think it was very helpful for her this week that when I was in the house, like, whew, he's gone again. I used to travel a lot, so she was used to me being gone. And now I'm retired, and I'm not traveling a lot. She's like, what in the world is going on in my life? How is this going to work? So anyways, we are going to talk really quick about Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact, because it is Thanksgiving. And we're going to look at Colossians 3. So turn with me, if you would, for the first 16 verses, if I have time to get through them. And we're going to talk about how Colossians 3 relates to Thanksgiving and how we should be thankful for the things that we have. So Paul today is talking, or Paul's talking to us in Colossians 3 about the practical applications of the doctrines he had been teaching in chapters 1 and 2. Now, if you look at Colossians, you'll see, there's a lot of familiarity with Galatians, and there's some familiarity with Ephesians, and yeah, it's kind of the same stuff. He's just writing to different churches, and it's all the same doctrinal stuff. So we talked about that Wednesday night, that there was some carryover between Galatians, and because Kevin was teaching through Galatians and through into Colossians, which I was going to talk about this morning. But it does little good if Christians declare and defend the truth but fail to demonstrate it in our lives. So practical application. And thankfulness is a huge part of how we demonstrate the truth of what we believe. There are many of us who will defend the truth at the drop of a hat, but how we live our personal lives reflects what we say and whether we really believe in Him. Oh, who changed? Dave, did you change my slides? I'm gonna blame somebody. Titus 1 says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. So we don't want to be like that. We want to respond to God because of what He has done for us, then show the world who He is. And Thanksgiving is a big part of that. And we'll get to rejoicing in a little bit. So the theme of this chapter is living the new life. So if you look at your Bible, I'm going to use the NLT translation today just so you don't get confused. But if you look at the chapter heading, it says living a new life is what it said in my NLT. So it's about taking what Paul is teaching us and then living that new life because we're saved, right? So in chapter 2, if we roll back up to chapter 2 and we look at what Paul was teaching in chapter 2, he says, you are dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature. It was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ, for He forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So the first reason that we're thankful is because of the gospel, right? I mean, that's the primary reason, but it's the very first reason. It's the fact that if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you've been saved from your sins, you have been saved from an eternity in hell. I know we don't like to talk about hell, but that's our reality if you don't accept Jesus. Your position in Christ is fully seated at His right hand because we are indwelled. He says your sights. He said that Jesus, He says right here in the verse, that Christ sits at the right hand of God. So positionally, we're there. We're seated at the right hand of the Father. So we have a cool position to think of. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So you are positionally the same as you'll ever be, seated at the right hand of God, because we've been crucified with Christ and He lives in us. And because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit and that Spirit lives in us, we are exactly the same spiritually as we will be for eternity. There's no new spirit we get when we die, like we're going to suck that one out and put this one in. No, it's the same Holy Spirit, first, last, and always. You die, you're positionally seated with Christ, and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit perfectly for eternity. All right? So Paul is telling us, because of our salvation, because of our new life in Christ, we can set our sights on the realities of heaven. Remember, he said, think of things above, think of heavenly things. We have this incredible power to live a heavenly-minded life, to live our lives with an eternal perspective. It's not easy. The lifelong battle, we're always going to be struggling against it because of the ebbs and flows of life and illness and things like that. But we can actually live a heavenly-minded life. Once we start to set our sights on heaven, we should begin to see that the things of this earth that we hold so dear just aren't that important. Yeah, it's great. We have money, and we take vacations, and we have all this stuff. That's wonderful. It's awesome. Enjoy the fruits of your labor, God tells us in Ecclesiastes. But they become less and less important. And spending a lot of time with Jim Birmingham in the last week on the phone, you realize how, when somebody's going through something like that, and a lot of us have had people that go through it, you realize how important those relationships are and how important the Lord is compared to his motorcycle, his Corvette, his, doesn't mean anything if he's not here. So, you know, where do you put your priorities? All right, and it gives us a chance to think about that. So think about, and verse 2 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you shall share in his glory. We're going to share in his glory somehow, some way. I'm not sure what that looks like yet. But in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 6, and these are my life verses, kind of like to live here, it says, I'm going to read the whole verse. You got a summary up there. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have this priceless inheritance. Think about the heavenly things. You have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So truly be glad. There is wonderful joy ahead beyond what we have on this earth. That's not in there. I just read that. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested by fire, as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So Paul talks about thinking about the things of heaven. Peter assures us that of that reality with this inheritance and this idea that we have an inheritance. So Paul says, think about it. Peter says, this is your reality. So we are hidden in Christ in God, which implies concealment and safety. So we're protected, we're safe, our salvation is assured, our future is assured. And we know this because both Paul and Peter are telling us that. Think about heavenly things, you've been saved, here's what you get, here's your inheritance, and it's already guaranteed and set aside for you. So they're both telling us the same thing. Our inheritance includes us sharing in Christ's glory, and that sharing is stated as a fact. So when you do Greek and you study the verbs, this is a factual verb. It is actually absolutely going to happen. So then the second reason to be thankful is we have a future with God for eternity, and it's going to be perfect. And because we believe that Jesus died and was raised from the dead to forgive us of our sins, if we simply believe that, if we simply accept the message of the gospel. So are you thankful today? Or are you bumming around like, oh, my football team lost? Or, you know, and we're all going to have stuff like that, right? I mean, that's the ebb and flow of life. But are you truly thankful? And when we come up to this Thanksgiving season, can you give the Lord thanks for his salvation and for his eternal inheritance that he's given us? And kind of set aside the things of the world that are kind of making you nuts right now. And I will tell you, I've talked to Jim a lot the last week, and he's more fired up than I am. And he's like sick as a dog. He's going through it right now, and it's an incredibly. I want to be like Jim someday. You know, I just not with. I don't want to have cancer, but I want to be like Jim and the way that he relates to people and the things that he's doing. He prayed for me last night for about 15 minutes while we were on the phone. I'm like, and he could barely talk. I'm like, holy cow, this guy is awesome. But he believes. And we talked about this. He believes what he believes. He knows that he's saved, and he knows that beyond this, there's this perfect inheritance that he's going to have for the rest of his life. How could that not be hopeful and helpful? So now what do we do? Paul is saying, okay, you've got this heaven. You know this inheritance. We want to think about heavenly things. You know you're saved. So verse 5 says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. In Romans 6, Paul says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin, that body of sin, these things that we're talking about here, might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. So we've died to ourselves, we're set free from sin. In Colossians 2:15, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new is begun. So in response to the gospel, in response to understanding this inheritance, in response to understanding this guarantee and this assuredness and our protection, we want to start putting aside these things that are sinful in our lives. All right? We know that the new self and the new nature comes with a power to overcome our sins. Matthew Henry, anybody know Matthew Henry? An old Puritan commentator in the 1600s said this, the apostle exhorts the Colossians to the mortification of sin, and you may have heard that from Wesley and the Finney brothers, or the Wesley brothers and Charles Finney, this mortification of sin, the great hindrance to seeking the things which are above. Since it is our duty to set our affection upon heavenly things, it is our duty to mortify our members which are upon the earth and which naturally incline us towards the things of the world. We're going to wrestle with this for the rest of our lives. We're naturally inclined towards things of the world, but they're talking about the mortification of sin, the ability to do it. And we can do it because we have the perfect Holy Spirit indwelling us and incredible power. All right? Mortify them. That is, subdue the vicious habits of mind which prevailed in your former state before you were saved, positioned at the right hand of God in Christ and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. See, I like Matthew Henry. He agrees with me. So, kill them, suppress them, as you do weeds or vermin, which spread and destroy all about them, or as you kill an enemy who fights against you and wounds you. Put your sins to death. Have nothing to do with them, is basically what Matthew Henry is saying, what Paul is saying here. Stop worshiping the things of the world. You have the power to do this from the Holy Spirit. Not easy, but you have the power to do it. Verse 6 says, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming, or the wrath of God is coming. I don't want to be involved in any of that. At some point, there will be judgment against those who have turned their backs on the Lord and not accepted his free gift of salvation. That's not us, but all of us have family and friends that are not saved, and we need to be sharing and praying for them that they don't suffer God's judgment and wrath, because it's going to be ugly and brutal and eternal. We want them all to be with us in heaven, hanging out in and having the same inheritance that we have and hanging out with Jesus forever. In Romans 1:18, Paul reminds us, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. There's harsh judgment for those who don't accept Jesus. Another thing to be thankful for is our ability to overcome sin. We have it. It's not going to be perfect. We're not going to do it fully this side of heaven, but we have the ability. So we have this ability to overcome sin and to share the gospel and pray for the salvation of our family and friends so they won't face that harsh judgment in the wrath of God. For us, we won't save a single soul, but God is a God of salvation, and he uses us to share the gospel and to live the gospel in thankfulness and rejoicing and as a demonstration of what we believe, and to pray and pray and pray for those that don't believe, those that you know that don't believe. Prayer is powerful, and I believe that the Lord will respond to our prayers, especially those prayers for the salvation of our family and friends. Look, if you're going to pray to win the lottery, that's probably not going to happen. But if you're praying for the salvation of the souls of your friends and family, I wasn't saved until I was 40, and there were people praying for me for decades. So it can happen. There is hope. So don't stop praying. As long as they're alive, as long as you're alive, pray and pray and pray. And sometimes you can't share the gospel with them. They don't want to hear it, but you can continue to pray. I have family and friends that I know that they know the gospel, and I rest in that, and then I just pray that the Lord just opens the eyes of their hearts so that they can see him. So continue to pray. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Keep on praying. Verse 7 says, you used to do these things when your life was still a part of the world. So all that sin list that Paul was talking about. But now is the time to get rid of an additional sin list. Get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to one another, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. So we show our thanks to God for all he's done to us by living a different way than we have in the past. We got to be different. We got to show difference. There are besetting sins. There are things that you're just going to struggle with till the day you die. And that's just the way it is. They're hardcore. They've gotten a hold of you. And you know, you get up in the morning, it's like, I'm not going to eat 5,000 calories. And then you get this. So, I struggle with that. So there's things that you're going to struggle with. So we need to move on to them. Because he saved us, sorry, I lost my place. That's what happens when I rabbit trail. Because he saved us, because we sit at the right hand of God in Christ, because we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, because we have a glorious inheritance in heaven, we can move on from our old sinful ways. I didn't say that we will, and it's not going to be easy, but it is possible. The struggle is real. Paul reminds us that in Romans 7:21. He said, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey the laws of God, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Now, he's not making excuses for sin, but he's saying the struggle is real. So I would say this. In my case, I bought 2 half gallons of ice cream last night. That's not going to help. It's in my house, right? So don't buy the chocolate cake and expect to lose 100 pounds. It's not going to work. I mean, so you got to make choices in your life about what you're going to do, where you're going to be, who you're going to be around, because sometimes it's who you are around that cause you issues. So those are choices that we make. And little by little, we get to kind of peel the layers back of the onion and just kind of get rid of some of those things that we had, bothering us in our past. So aren't you thankful? I'm thankful that I have this new life. That you don't have to live like the world. You don't have to be just drawn down by your sins. That's because we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit who will allow us, who helps us to overcome that sin. So put on your new nature and be renewed. We're in verse 10. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. The ultimate goal is to be more like Jesus day by day. We have the power to do it. We just need to start. We know we're not going to suffer God's judgment. Thank God for that. We know that we have a perfect eternity ahead. Thank God for that. But for now, we need to put on our new nature and understand our position in Christ, understand the power that we have through the Holy Spirit, and understand our inheritance and our eternal place with God. The challenge is, will you be humble enough to do it? Will you start? And you don't have to do it on your own. You got your, husbands, we're really good. Our wives are really good at telling us, every time I leave the house, I'm like, my wife goes, are you going to dress like that? So she's very good at pointing out these things. So stop chewing ice. Stop eating that. So, but anyways, our wives are really good sounding boards. So are our husbands, ladies. We might have some close personal friends. We talked about this in Bible study on Wednesday. I can't just get up and walk across the room to you folks in the back that I don't know and say, you're a sinner and this is your shit. We have to build relationships with people, and then we rely on those people to speak into our lives and help us to identify those areas where we may be weak. And then they pray for us, they come alongside of us, knowing all the while that they still have a log in their eye, right? We all have logs in our eyes, so it's easy to see the speck in somebody else's eye, and it's difficult to see the log in our eye. So we want people to help us get the log out of our eye while there's still, or the speck out of our eye while there's still a log in their eye, and vice versa. And if you're going to do this work with somebody, understand, they're going to have things to say about you too. And it's good. It's all good. We want to get there, right? So, Psalm 139 gives us a little hint on how to do this. David says at the end of Psalm 139, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there are any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting. So in order to do it, you have to put forth the effort, like I just talked about. You have to be willing to open your heart to the Lord and ask that He shows you where your failings are. It's hard work, because there are things we don't know that are even sins that we commit, and there are things that we just don't want to get rid of, right? I like the feeling I get from my sins. I like feeling angry, because it makes me feel like I'm in control. I like getting high, because it lets me forget for a while. I like cheating or stealing to get what I haven't worked for because it's easier, and on and on and on. I'm not saying that we're a bunch of drunken, angry thieves, although some of you may be. But we have our issues, right? So I'm thankful. Another thing that I'm thankful for on this Thanksgiving is that I can ask the Lord for help to put on my new nature, and then if I'm totally honest with Him and if I'm willing to let Him in, He will help me be more like Jesus every day. But you got to do it. And that's a lot of the work that Randy and Moby do at New Song. They're challenging these men to put off the old and put on the new in real time, face to face. It's pretty awesome. Verse 11, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives for all of us. In Galatians 3:23, Paul supports this in Galatians, for you are all children of God through Christ, faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, Democrat or Republican. So I'm just saying, you know, politics don't count. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. You are His heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So there's no spiritual distinction between any of us in Christ. Doesn't matter what gender you are, color, ethnicity, position, political party, we're all the same in Jesus. We're all saved by the same God. We all have the same position in Christ. We're all indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. And we all have the ability to live the life, that new life that honors and glorifies God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Sometimes you just have to ask. There are some religions that teach that you must work for what their God gives. I am thankful, and I hope you are too, that our God gives freely before we even ask. And I want to respond by representing Him to the best of my abilities as long as He allows me to walk on this planet. I want to be a good representative for as long as He lets me live. Verse 12 says, so since God chose you to be holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Ooh, how many of you are tender-heartedly merciful? Kindness, how many of you are kind? Humility, gentleness, and patience. So it's not just about stripping off the sin. It's about putting on. Kevin talked about this a couple weeks ago. Put on, put off. What do you put off? What do you take off that sin? What do you put on? Humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. How forgiving are you? That's probably the hardest thing that we have to do. Forgiveness is a very hard thing. We see this incredible act of God's grace toward us as Paul reminds us that He chose us to be the holy people that He loves. In Ephesians 1:4, he says, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Our opportunity as believers is to share the love of God with the world, to go and make disciples, and then hope that the Lord pours out His grace on them and saves them, just like He did us, that He forgives them like He has forgiven us. So what does it look like when we mortify our sins and when we ask the Lord into our hearts and show our grievous way in response to our salvation? What does this new person look like? The Lord expects us to look and act towards others as He does towards us. Just saying, treat others the way I treat you. We need to show mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgive like we've been forgiven. We're never going to convince anyone that our God is real and worth being in a relationship if we're angry, if we're outraged, if our behavior is wicked, or we're slanderous, or there's garbage coming out of our mouths. There's no gospel to be shared with anybody at that point in time. We know that everybody knows Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And I would submit to you that if you just focus on this, put the put-on list and not the put-off list, the put-off list just won't exist anymore. Because this is where your focus is. These are the things that you're trying to do. So how can we help? I'll save that. How can we help people get to know the Lord? I'm starting to rabbit trail again. Stop me when you know I'm rabbit trailing. That's how we help people get to know the Lord, when they see those qualities in us and they are attracted to the Lord. It's not just something to do, like, you know, you get up today and say, today I'm going to be kind so somebody will know the Lord. Tomorrow, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do tomorrow? Tomorrow I'm going to forgive somebody so that they will know the Lord. So I'm captain one of these every day, and that's going to help somebody see the Lord. No, it's a combination of things. It's the ability to live your life representing those fruits and living those fruits of the Spirit in real time always. It's how you live your life. It's also about understanding that we're going to fail, not excusing our failure, but going to those that we've hurt and seeking forgiveness and repenting and truly treating others the way you want to be treated. Who the heck wants people to be angry at them? Who the heck wants people to not forgive them? Who wants that? Nobody wants that. So treat others the way you want to be treated. Pretty simple. Golden rule, right? 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Jesus Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace, and always be thankful. Thanksgiving, always be thankful. That was the big idea, thankfulness. So we need to show a whole lot of love to others, and we need the kind of love that reflects back to them that the love that God has shown to us. In his book, Truth Plus Love, author Matt Brown says, nowhere in Scripture does God give us permission to be a jerk. He says, there's a few jerks in the audience. How is the world supposed to see the grace of God if people are not gracious? Right? So live your life with grace. In order to do that, our hearts need to be ruled by Christ and our lives led by the Holy Spirit, and we always need to be thankful for what the Lord has done and what he's doing through us. We need to show it. We need to live it. I'm telling you, for me, if I'm thanking the Lord, I'm doing those things and not the other things. All right? 16, let the message about Christ and all his richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So that kind of ties up this section. The last two verses tie everything together. The gospel needs to fill our lives. We need to share the gospel message with the world. We need to praise the Lord with thankful hearts and represent the Lord Jesus in everything we do and be thankful for everything he has done for us. So what do we take away from today? I hope, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is Philippians 4:4. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That's living those fruits of the Spirit. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious or worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what do we leave with this morning? We should be rejoicing always. We will not rejoice if we're not first thankful. I'm building everything on thanks. I don't think we do any of this stuff without thankfulness. I'm thankful that we live in a country that allows us to openly worship our God. Thankful for my salvation, my position in Christ, my inheritance in heaven, for the fact that I'm assured of that inheritance, that I can mortify my sin, that I can represent the Lord to a lost and dying world, that I can live the fruit of the Spirit by the power of the Spirit, that I can forgive as I have been forgiven and love as I have been loved. Hopefully you're thankful for the same things. Last thought for today. Let's see if I have this on a slide. Yep. We are being used to build the only kingdom that will last forever. There's nothing coming next, so give your best to this kingdom. It may feel small, but it's never in vain, for this kingdom is eternal, and it is God's. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts with these lovely people. And Lord, I just am grateful that I can put off and put on. And I appreciate everybody here paying attention and listening. And I hope that everybody leaves with something, just a little something this morning that makes their life a little bit better and that they leave mostly with thankfulness and thanksgiving. So, Lord, help us to celebrate Thanksgiving well this year, Lord, and remember all the things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.